Welcome one and all to our Friday night church service on October 17, 2025, on this beautiful evening. Before we begin, let's see an open thought entitled Holy Day Sabbath Rest.
Holy Sabbath day of rest, by our Master richly blessed. God created on divine, sanctified for holy time. Yes, the holy Sabbath rest, by our God divinely blessed. It also sun shall be through our all eternity.
Seek not pleasures of this earth, with its folly, noise, and mirth. There are better things in store over on the other shore. Yes, the holy Sabbath rest by our God divinely blessed. It to us a sign shall be throughout all eternity.
As the Sabbath draweth on, Friday eve at dead of sun, Christian households then should meet, sing and pray at Jesus' feet. Yes, the holy Sabbath rest, by our God divinely blessed. If the sun shall be throughout all eternity.
Asking him for saving grace, also victory in the race, and to help us by his power to keep holy every hour. Yes, the holy Sabbath rest, by our God divinely blessed. It to us a sign shall be throughout all eternity.
Amen. Let's have a word of prayer, dear ones. Who would like to open up Friday night Easter for us? Be still free.
Dear and gracious Heavenly Father Jesus, we thank you so very much for giving us this wonderful high privilege of being able to come together on this blessed Sabbath day in times such as this. We thank you, O Lord God, for bringing us safely through another week, all of our loved ones and family ones. We pray, O Lord God, that you please be with us throughout this Sabbath day, and also with our loved ones who are not around right here, or who we have constantly kept in prayer that they may come to know you. You, dear Lord, the only Lord God and Savior that there is, that they may give everything. That they may give everything to you, and bring all their burdens and cast all their burdens and cares upon you and bring all their sins to you. We pray that, dear Lord God, for them and also for their young ones too and family members. We pray on now, Lord God, please be with the speaker that will be here and that he is speaking. Please be with him and please be with us all to be able to share as we can. And let the Holy Spirit continually take control over the whole matter, that we may follow and not lead you. In Jesus' name we pray, O Lord. Amen.
Amen. We are continuing chapter 39 in the court of Babylon. We'll pick up on our reading from Prophets of Kings, page 487, paragraph 2 and chapter 39 in the court of Babylon. God brought Daniel and associates into connection with the great men of Babylon, that in the midst of a nation of idolaters, they might represent his character. And from our last reading, we remember from when Daniel was then brought into his court, into the Nebuchadnezzar's court, along with his three friends. Before they were put into service, they were first put into training under the pardon me, dear one, to I felt a little belch coming out. They were led through their teaching under the leadership of Melzar, the man and the king left in charge to educate them and to be advisors to him. And we recall, while doing so, they were given the king's meat in order to be eaten, but they refused to eat it because it was against their law to eat such thing, and plus that meat they were eating was paying honor and homage to dead idols. Well, so they refused to eat it and chose to eat vegetables and drink water just as the law had commanded them to. And after 10 days they were much stronger, healthier, and wiser than the others who eat the king's and drink his wine. And now we continue today through this story to hear more of what happened. And I will start continuing. God brought Daniel and his associates into connection with the great men of Babylon, that in the midst of a nation of idolaters, they might represent his character. How did they become fit for a position of so great trust and honor? It was faithfulness from little things that gave complexion to their whole life. They honored God in the small duties as well as in the larger responsibilities. And who will want to read the next paragraph?
As God called Daniel to witness to him in Babylon, so he calls us to be witnesses in the world today. In the smallest as well as the largest affairs of life, he desires us to reveal to men the principles of his kingdom. Many are waiting for some great word to be brought to them, while daily they lose opportunities for revealing faithfulness to God. Daily they fail of discharging with wholeheartedness the little duties of life. While they wait for some large work in which they may exercise supposedly great talents and thus satisfy their ambitious longings, their day pass away. Prophets and Kings, page 487, paragraph 3.
Amen. Would anyone like to share any comments or testimony before we go on to the next page? Please feel free to speak up. Continuing. In the life of the true Christian, there are no non-essentials. In the sight of omnipotence, every duty is important. The Lord measures with exactness every possibility to serve. The unused capabilities are just as much brought into account as those that are used. We shall be judged what we ought to have done, but did not accomplish because we did not use our powers to glorify God.
A noble character is not the result of accident. It is not due to special favors or endowments of providence. It is the result of self-discipline, of subjection to the lower, of the lower to the higher nature, of the surrender of self to the service of God and man.
But by these two paragraphs, we learn how their self-denial, self-discipline, how their faith, how every characteristic they had, showing in how they favored with God, by developing faithful servitude to His commandments. And that's how their noble character has developed, and how they become a good counsel as soon as their education was complete. And if we follow their example in doing the same thing in all actions that we do, our noble characters will be just as shaped to be of service both to God and to mankind as well. Who would like to read the next paragraph?
Through the fidelity to the principles of temperance shown by the Hebrew youth, God is speaking to the youth of today. There is need of men who, like Daniel, will do and dare for the cause of right. Pure hearts, strong hands, fearless courage are needed, for the warfare between vice and virtue calls for ceaseless vigilance. To every soul, Satan comes with temptation in many alluring forms on the point of indulgence of appetite. Prophets and Kings, page 488, paragraph 3.
I just wanted to share on that one particular point, too, that our dear sister was reading. And it's really in the last point where it speaks of indulgence of appetite. I think that too often appetite is just seen as what goes in one's mouth, or what we eat, what we drink. But it also can deal very heavily, and more so does, with what we also indulge in our own mind or in our activities. What we are pondering on and dwelling on, and even what it is that we may be holding on to. All these different things are of appetite. And if we hold on to them, we're indulging in them. If we feed them, we are indulging in them. So I think it's more than just what goes in the mouth.
Indeed, Brother Joe. Well, and that is even true. Even my mom and I even read it from the Councils of Health and Councils on Diet and Food book that talked about even the errors of not being careful of what one eats, especially those involved in a meat-eating diet. And even in my studies, of course, that beholding you can change, even what you are when you eat. It can even change in more ways than one. Continuing, who would like to read the next paragraph?
Body is a most important medium through which the mind and the soul are developed for the upbuilding of character. Hence it is that the adversary of souls directs his temptations to the enfeebling and degrading of the physical powers. His success here often means the surrender of the whole being to evil. The tendencies of the physical nature, unless under the dominion of a higher power, will surely work ruin and death. The body is to be brought into subjection to the higher powers of the being. The passions are to be controlled by the will, which is itself to be under the control of God. The kingly power of reason, sanctified by divine grace, is to bear sway in the life. Intellectual power, physical stamina, and the length of life depend upon immutable laws, unchangeable laws. Thank you.
Amen. That paragraph brings up a good point. Satan will try everything he can to tempt man and to fall into him. And one of those ways is even by appetite, by making them succumb to whatever temptation they give to him. And they're already giving him honor and becoming his slave if they give in. That's even the case of what happened with Eve. When Eve said about the consequence of what happened, the forbidden fruit from the tree of knowledge was touched or even eaten, they truly died. But the same chase of words saying, ye shall not surely die. And tricks are saying that God knows that if they do eat from that tree, that they would be just as smart as him. But that was not even the world's truth. God already gave Eve a simple rule that it was not thought to be touched or eaten. And look what happened after they disobeyed that rule. They gave in to the devil's temptation. They eventually did die, but just not right away. If we give in to the temptation of things we shouldn't be touching that may be harmful to us, our consequences would be no different from Adam and Eve or anybody else, those who already gave in to Satan's tricks. Let's move on to the next paragraph. And who would like to read next?
Oh, we're at the top of continuing. Through obedience to these laws, man may stand conqueror of himself, conqueror of his own inclinations, conqueror of principalities and powers, of the rulers of the darkness of this world, and of spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, Prophets and Kings, paragraph, page 488, paragraph 4.
In that ancient
No, go on, Sister Grace. I was about to ask who would like to read the next paragraph.
Okay. In the ancient ritual, which is the gospel in symbol, no blemish offering could be brought to God's altar. The sacrifice that was to represent Christ must be spotless. The word of God points to this as the illustration of what his children are to be, a living sacrifice, only holy and without blemish. Romans 12:1, Ephesians 5:27, Prophets and Kings, page 489, paragraph 1.
And who would like to read the next paragraph?
The Hebrew worthies were men of like passions with ourselves. Yet notwithstanding the seductive influence of the court of Babylon, they stood firm, because they depended upon a strength that is infinite. In them, a heathen nation beheld an illustration of the goodness and beneficence of God and of the love of Christ. And in their experience, we have an instance of the triumph of principle over temptation, of purity over depravity, of devotion and loyalty over atheism and idolatry. Prophets and Kings, page 489, paragraph 2.
Amen. But these paragraphs imply that thanks to obedience to God's law, that how Daniel and his friends were able to withstand all the. That's how Daniel and his friends were able to withstand all the strong desires of everything that was happening around them. By remembering the things that they taught and by keeping it in mind and in their thoughts, also, despite what was happening around them, no matter what they were served or what things that were presented, they stayed loyal to God and his command. And if we have the same integrity and strength as them, we too can stand strong and not bend, no matter what hindrances Satan will use against us to make us fall. Every seduction will come. He'll do everything he can to make us falter. But as long as we continue doing what is right, like Daniel's friends did, is by having the self-denial, obedience, and courage to do what is right, then there is nothing in that can go wrong. As long as he's obeyed, he's forever our shield and fortress.
Amen, dear brother Joshua. I believe that and I agree with that. And I believe also that those young Hebrew worthies, as they are very clearly called, rightly called, they also had the word of God that was given to them as little children growing up. And it is in things such as that, too, is what says the scripture, and it is written that they also had a lot to lean on concerning that. For without the word of God, I feel very sure that we would not have strength to be able to withstand the wiles of the devil as they come up in the temptations. We would say no with our mouth all we want to, but without the power of God, in his word to truly strengthen us, and us fleeing in a quick prayer, jotting up to the Lord, Lord, please help me. This is a temptation I'm not strong enough for. Please help. We have to flee to, even as you had said, dear brother, that strong tower for defense against those attacks. So I tend to believe that they definitely were raised up to know the word of God and to stand on it also, as we must also.
Okay, and who would like to read the next paragraph?
The spirit that possessed Daniel, the youth of today may have. They may draw from the same source of strength, possess the same power of self-control, and reveal the same grace in their lives, even under the circumstances as unfavorable. Those surrounded by temptations to self-indulgence, especially in our large cities where every form of sensual gratification is made easy and inviting, yet by divine grace their purpose to honor God may remain firm. Through strong resolution and vigilant watchfulness, they may withstand every temptation that assails the soul, but only by him who determines to do right, because it is right, will the victory be gained. Prophets and Kings, page 489, paragraph 3.
We would like to read the next paragraph below. Please feel free to speak out.
What a life work was that of these noble Hebrews. As they bade farewell to their childhood home, little did they dream what a high destiny was to be theirs. Faithful and steadfast, they yielded to the divine guiding so that through them God could fulfill his purpose.
Amen. I remember I pray when reading the Bible, either by myself or with someone else, I always say, let us be able to resist all temptations that the devil may use against us to make us turn to thee, who may never give him the chance. And by doing in that word, even possessing the same spirit Daniel and his friends had, I'm pretty sure they prayed for the same thing. And because of their integrity and ability and the wisdom they gained from his work, that's how they've been able to withstand all the enticements that come around them, from the food at the table to a false god that the heathen captors were worshiping. And by following in that same action, by following those same actions that they did, we're doing the same thing as them, and we're standing up for God as well in the process. And who would like to read the last paragraph of this chapter?
The same mighty truths that were revealed through these men, God desired to reveal through the youth and children today. The life of Daniel and his fellows is a demonstration of what he will do for those who yield themselves to him and with their whole heart seek to accomplish his purpose. Prophet and King, page 490, paragraph 2.
Amen. Before we go on to the next chapter, does anybody have any comments, any thoughts, anything that they want to share? Please feel free to talk away.
I have a comment.
Go ahead, dear Brother Michael.
I was thinking in chapter 1 of the book of Daniel, and this is the chapter, of course, that Ellen White is commenting on here. At the end of the chapter, of course, Daniel's three friends are tested, and they're found to be 10 times wiser than all of the wise men of the Babylonian kingdom. And at the very end of that, it mentions that Daniel had wisdom in dreams and visions and in understanding them. I can't with the exact words, but we're basically referring to visions and dreams and have him have an understanding in those. And I think that's part of the lesson of chapter 1. The moral character of the youth having moral character, but also youth with God's help by following him, God also giving them an understanding and them being willing to learn the present truth for today. Ellen White talks about making the truth our own. And the best way I've come to think of making the truth our own, and this is, of course, what Daniel and three friends had to do because they were separated from their parents. They were on their own. All they had was God to rely on. And so they had to make the truth their own. And to me, making the truth your own means if someone comes up and asks you, why do you keep the Sabbath? Or if someone asks you, who is the mark? What is the mark of the beast? Or who is the beast? Or what are the prophecies of Daniel referring to? Like this chapter, for example, chapter 11 or chapter 8 or chapter 9. To make it your own, you have to be able to respond to that person from the Bible without having to go to somebody else or another book to show them. You need to be able to do it from the Bible itself with God's help. And this is, of course, what Daniel's three friends, with God's help, are willing to do and given the wisdom to do. And I think that's part of the moral character of the youth and what it should be. Because knowledge, being willing to put in the effort to learn and know the truth of today so that Christ can use you more fully, is itself part of your character, to being willing to put forth that energy to learn it. And, of course, today we see that, we see this with the three little messages and the present truth and the loud cry and those. And it's something we all need to understand and be able to prove from the Bible, so that we can be able to give a reason for everyone that asks us. And that should apply to the youth too, all of us, old and young, to be able to do that. And I think that's another lesson from Daniel, is the understanding they were given.
Amen, Brother Michael. And you're right. That is pretty much the moral of Daniel's story. And by copying his example, that's how we're even showing who we stand for and why we speak out the truth, because it needs to be given out. That's what God intends for people today to have salvation. And I like to share also a comment from part of my school that goes along with the study. talks more about geology. It talks about metamorphic rock. It says here that the word metamorphic means to have been changed. And is that the same thing, part of the same word, metamorphosis? Like the caterpillar turned to a butterfly and the tadpole to a frog, etc. This name tells us about the third group of rocks. As Daniel and his friends denied themselves, they were changed to the image of the rock, Christ Jesus. Metamorphic rocks begin as one kind of rock and are changed to another kind by heat, pressure, or being soaked by other substances. They were once igneous or sedimentary rock. They do not look the same, for their structure and color have changed. That lesson will be learned for another day. This can remind us how we can start out not knowing God and how God can change us into a Christian through certain influences in our lives. King Nebuchadnezzar did not know God, and Daniel witnessed to him by his self-denying life. He learned to love and worship the God of heaven. Marble, for instance, is sometimes a metamorphic rock. It is used in buildings and monuments. Once the famous sculptor Michelangelo Bernardi was asked how he made such beautiful statues from pieces of marble, like that statue of David, for example, or at least that's who he was intending to build. He said that if he was trying to form an angel from the marble, he simply chipped away everything that was not an angel. Just as Michelangelo used the chisel to chip away the marbles, we may use the word no to chip away everything that does not belong in our lives. Daniel's friends said no to self in the area of appetite. Once Daniel had purposed in his heart what he wanted to be, he began chipping away those things that did not fit in with his high calling. This is how he became a beautiful monument to God's grace. But by having self-denial in his actions and his words and even the way he ate, Daniel's already showing both Melzar and everyone, Nebuchadnezzar, and everyone else after him, that what it takes to be a servant of God by giving in to God's will and his commandments and everything that they've been taught by their parents and by the Lord himself. By doing these actions, they are already showing who they stand for, who they pay honor to, who everyone should be paid homage to, and how they should behave. True, not everyone's going to take it seriously. Some may keep that out of thought, or even scoff at us, just thinking what we're doing is a waste of time. But it shouldn't be. It was worth it to speak out the truth. By having self-denial, obedience, temperance, and all character traits that Daniel and his three friends had gained during their days in the court of the Chaldean king, they were able to be both servants to two kings, one on earth and the other in heaven. By copying their examples, we're showing who we represent as well, and how people can learn how to love God, respect him, and even obey his words in a simple way. And now we go on to a new chapter, chapter 40, Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And who would like to read the first paragraph of this new chapter?
Soon after Daniel and his companions entered the service of the king of Babylon, events occurred that revealed to an idolatrous nation the power and faithfulness of the God of Israel. Nebuchadnezzar had a remarkable dream, by which his spirit was troubled and his sleep broke from him. But although the king's mind was deeply impressed, he found it impossible, when he awoke, to recall the particulars. Prophets and Kings, page 491, paragraph 1.
In this perplexity, Nebuchadnezzar assembled his wise men, the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers, and besought their help. I have a dream, he said, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. With this statement of his perplexity, he requested them to reveal to him that which would bring relief to his mind.
Who would like to read the next paragraph?
I can finish that one. To this, the wise men responded, "O King, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation."
Okay. Before we move on to the next page, does anyone have any comments, thoughts, any questions that they want to speak out? Please feel free to do so. Continuing, dissatisfied with their evasive answers, suspicious because, despite their pretentious claims to reveal the secret to men, they nevertheless seemed unwilling to grant him help. The king commanded his wise men, with promises of wealth and honor on the one hand, and threats of death on the other, telling him not only the interpretation of the dream, but the dream itself. "The thing is gone from me," he said. "If you will not make known unto me the dream, with the interpretation thereof, he shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if ye show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards of great honor." Would anyone like to read the next one?
Still the wise men returned the answer, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it." Prophets and King, page 492, paragraph 2.
Nebuchadnezzar, now thoroughly aroused and angered by the apparent perfidy of those in whom he had trusted, declared, "I know of certainty that ye will gain the time, because ye see the things is gone from me. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall show that ye can, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof."
who would like to read the next paragraph?
Filled with fear for the consequences of their failure, the magicians endeavor to show the king that his request was unreasonable and his test beyond that which ever had been required, of any man. There is not a man upon the earth, they remonstrated, that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. Prophets and Kings, page 492.
Amen. Anyway, what the wise men were saying was only partially right. It's true that no person can tell what another person had dreamt. And look what even happened even from back then until now. I can't tell what any of you dreamed, and neither none of you can know what I dreamed. And all these false gods can't give an answer either. After all, they're just nothing even but stone. Oh, and stone, can't see, hear, smell, or speak.
Who would like to read the next paragraph?
Okay. Oh, then the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. Sounds like a lunatic.
I agree with it. Before we move on to the next paragraph, are there any questions, any comments, any thoughts, anything that anyone would like to say? Please feel free to speak up.
Yeah, the thought that I had on that concerning the previous paragraphs, it was very telling in the end. Throughout all those paragraphs, it could be seen very much what the king was desiring and how the stalling of the pagan magicians and things like that were trying to do because they knew what he was asking for them was an impossibility. But what I find very interesting is the last end of it where they come clean and state that only, and they may say in their words, the gods, but truthfully, it is only God that can reveal what the king wanted to hear and what his dream was and the interpretation of it. So they were basically, to me, they were basically declaring that we are frauds. We can't tell you anything. We don't have any answers for you, and actually we never really did, but you went along with it, but hey, we can't do it. So I think that's kind of the part that is a little bit funny, but yet very strongly telling at the same time, is that they went through that whole matter and the king hopping and popping and giving threatenings and rewards at the same time, and nobody could answer it. But in the end, it's declared that really only God can answer that, even though they say it's the gods. It is only God that can answer that kind of question. So I found that to be very interesting in the end that they tell it themselves.
Interested enough, at the very beginning of the chapter of 40, it tells you that Nebuchadnezzar didn't know God. And when he didn't have the opportunity to know God, which is the only one that can give him the peace and also an answer to his troubled heart, he relied upon every counselor that was around him. And also, because of the way of his disposition, even the counselor couldn't even answer, but they were also fearful of him. So there, no one could be able to give him the peace that he needed. Knowing God, the Lord always tells us that when there is something that is perplexing in mind or something that is troubling us, we go to God first because he's all wise and he's also responsible for every purpose. If the purpose that he has to be able to go through this, God already had a plan. All of the Chaldeans and all of those that could have gave him some kind of counsel couldn't give him the counsel because of fear, and also it was the purpose that the Lord has it. So like that, he can bring about his own vessel to continue on the plan that he had. So the key here that I have picked up on from the very beginning, Nebuchadnezzar didn't know God. And for not knowing God, he could not get the answer and the peace of his troubled heart. And then Daniel now is going to give an opportunity. By the influence of Daniel, God will actually allow that to be able to come something that will glorify his name and give them the chance to know who is the true God and not to rely upon anything that cannot give them the wisdom and the knowledge of what they needed to have at that very time. That's what I have just noticed while we was reading.
Amen. And we not have another geology lesson that goes along with the part of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. But before that, it said that this death decree would mean that Daniel's friends would also be killed unless God came to their aid. This experience has an important meaning for God's children. Spiritual Babylon will issue a death decree in the time of trouble involving God's children, just as literal Babylon did involving the Hebrew children and all the other wives that they had there. We need to carefully study Daniel's example so we know just what to do when the death decree comes to us. We may not know when that time will come, but it's still best to be prepared for when it will take place. As we've been told would happen one of these days. But onto the geology lesson. It talks more about igneous rock. It says here, remember the word igneous means made by fire or heat. So igneous rocks have been formed by heat. Let's review what we have learned about igneous rock. Deep inside the earth, it is very hot. The rocks and minerals there are also very hot. The heat has change these rocks and minerals into molten rock, which is called magma and lava as well. Hot magma can remind us of the fiery trials that came to all the wise men of Babylon. When magma comes up to the surface of the earth, it cools off and becomes hard. This is called igneous rock. There are many different kinds of igneous rock, but all have come from the magma within the earth. Sometimes the magma does not come to the surface of the earth. It cools underground and turns to rock. Remember, sometimes our trials may not be a threat of death as the wise men had, but with hidden thoughts that God does not want us to have. How thankful we can be that we can ask God for help to put bad thoughts out of our minds and to give us pure thoughts. Unfortunately, there are some mistakes in rocks and mineral guidebooks. The people who wrote the books have said that certain kinds of rocks are igneous rocks, and they're actually created rocks. In recent years, creation science has proven that such rocks as granite, diorite, sienite, and others were formed in a distant time rather than being formed over millions of years as evolutionists have taught. God formed the granite rocks by speaking his word during creation week. Evolutionists do not believe in creation, and so they make many mistakes because they do not understand true science. On the other hand, scientists who believe in God's word receive wisdom to understand things in nature that are a mystery to unbelievers. This reminds us of how the unbelieving wise men of Babylon could not interpret the mysterious dream that God gave to Nebuchadnezzar. But because Daniel went to God for understanding, he could explain what the Chaldean wise men did not know. Just as God gave to Daniel the special wisdom he needed to witness to the heathen people in Babylon, so God has given people like Robert B. Gentry, a Christian scientist, special grace to unravel the mystery contained in the granite rock that proves creation. So we see here how many people of these days think it takes millions of years for these rocks to form, but they didn't. As we already remember, as the Bible states, the world is actually 6,000 years old, no higher, no lower. But that's what people keep wanting to think these days, as we said. But evolution never existed. Things happen how they develop. And God is the one who started it all. And that's more the reason why his word must be given out. Just as Daniel eventually gives the king in the interpretation of that dream, we need to interpret the Bible's meaning that people can understand. Some may even get rid of the idea of thinking the world is billions of years old, but others will still keep thinking their own beliefs. And if they want to, it's their own loss. Overall, we can be thankful that we've be given the word out as God intended. And just as God wanted Nebuchadnezzar to understand his intent, and that's even what God has in mind for most folk today, no matter what they believe. And let us hope God can give us the courage, the determination, and the integrity to do that. But on we go to the story. Who would like to read this paragraph? Please feel free to do so.
Go ahead, dear sister. Go ahead. To this request, the monarch acceded. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. Together they sought for wisdom from the source of light and knowledge.
Mama, we skipped the paragraph.
Did I continue reading?
Dear sister, yes, is it possible that you can go into paragraph 2? Because we kind of skipped to the third one.
So among those?
Yeah.
Among those sought for by the officer who were preparing to fulfill the provisions of the royal decree were Daniel and his friends. When told that according to the decree they also must die, with the counsel and wisdom Daniel required of Arioch, the captain of the king's guard. Why is the decree so hasty from the king? Arioch told him the story of the king's perplexity over the remarkable dream and of his failure to secure help from those in whom he had hitherto placed fullest confidence. Upon hearing this, Daniel, taking his life in his hand, ventured into the king's presence and begged that time be granted that he might petition his God to reveal to him the dream and its interpretation.
And who would like to read this next paragraph? So this will be our last one for today's service. So who would like to finish it?
To this request, the monarch acceded. Then Daniel went to his home and made the thing known to Hananias, Mishael, Azariah, his companions. Together they sought for wisdom from the source of light and knowledge. Their faith was strong in the conscientiousness that God had placed them where they were. They were doing his work and meeting the demands of duty. In times of perplexity and danger, they had always turned to him for guidance and protection, and he had proved an ever-present help. Now, with contrition of heart, they submitted themselves anew to the judge of the earth, pleading that he will grant them deliverance in this their time of special need. And they did not plead in vain. The God who they had honored now honored them. The Spirit of the Lord rested upon them. And to Daniel, in a night vision, was revealed the king's dream and his meaning. I just want to be able to share that just as Daniel was given the answer to the perplexity of the king, it's just like in this time, we have Sister White and the dreams that have been given and the counsel that she had actually left for this generation. Many perplexity will come in this world. And we still have the same opportunity that Daniel had. We can go, pray, counsel together, and also go into those things that was left for such a time as this. And as you can see how beautiful it is, Daniel and his companion was not getting the information that they had inside of them to do the work just at that moment. They were trained from a very young age. The mother of Daniel knew that there was a prophecy that they was going to go into captivity. Not knowing the fate of anyone, she decided to be able to train her child, not knowing that God was going to look upon her household and bring Daniel and the other companion as well. So it's just like us today when we were called to the third angel's message. I had just found out by reading that those that are was going to go and sleep with the message of the third angel's message was the one that it was going to be awakened. This gave a little bit of more confirmation why the third angel's message had to be proclaimed all over the world to every kingdom, tongues, and people with the Lord cry, because it's important for them to be sealed either to death or to life by the very message that the Lord had given in order for us to be able to come to the time when the investigated judgment in our life and whatever circumstances that we are in this world for is the same thing that we see in the reading. Daniel was being prepared from a very young age. The mother didn't know he was going to be one of the people that was going to be sent, even though that the king was requesting for the tribe of Judah to be part of his royal council. So you could see the plan of salvation, the way how the Lord had already had it in his purpose. He already saw way before. And the mother not knowing, she still did things then by faith. And when Daniel was taken, it says in the reading that he comforted his mom to let him know that he's going to be in the hands. The same God that was training them when they were home was the same God they were going with. And the same God that they left with is the same God that kept them. I see this as a very beautiful study and a teaching for us to know. We don't know in what way the Lord is going to call us to fulfill his plan and how we're supposed to be obedient to it. And I see the beautiful parable that Daniel was given dream, but we also have someone that had a dream so we can be able to know exactly what we have to do in such a time as this. This is what I wanted to share.
Amen. And before we end in service, I'd like to share one last comment and from my geology lesson that goes along with this part. This last one that I'll speak of is talk about one of the igneous rocks that is common and defined, granite. A granite is one of our most common created rocks found deep under the ground. It does its humble work of supporting us without being noticed. This reminds us of how the common things need to be done faithfully each day, and how thankful we can be when greater things come to us. We are prepared. Daniel and his friends were very common Hebrew slaves that God used to witness to the king of Babylon. Granite is a very hard rock. This reminds us of how unyielding Daniel was to the worldly influences of Babylon around him. The Lord will have a people as true steel with faith as firm as the granite rock. Spoken in Testimonies of the Church, volume 4, page 594. Daniel's firm faith made it impossible for him to go in all by himself and ask for time to interpret the dream. God would specially reward that faith. Granite is made of quartz, feldspar, and mica. These are all minerals. Because feldspar and quartz are light in color, the granite is light colored. The little bits of mica make the dark spots in granite. Granite can be colored red, pink, yellow, or brown. It is often a mixture of colors. As granite is different in color,
scandalizing the leaders but delighting the people, and challenged by the leaders, Jesus replied, "My Father is working, and I also am working," in John 5. So Mark 2, 27 through 28, Jesus lists us a
As granite is different colors, the wise men were also different from one another. Some of them were astrologers, some were magicians, and some specialized in other things. While all the wise men of Babylon served false gods, Daniel and his friends served the God of heaven. Granite is a building stone that is valued for its beauty, strength, and durability. Because granite takes a high polish, it is often used in monuments and buildings. It resists weathering. The Hebrew captives like granite, strong, faithful, and fair to look upon. They resisted the weathering effects of sin, although they were exposed to its influence constantly in the court of Babylon. They were as stones polished after the similitude of a palace, as spoken of in Psalm 144:12. The strong in many different ways was granite and rock. So we can be the same way. By being as firm as rock in our belief in God and the ability to avoid all enticements, all allurements, all things that might divert us from following God. We were being just as strong as Daniel and his friends were, as faithful as we can be. By following God's commands and having the integrity, the temperance, the faith that they needed, they were able to able to interpret Nebuchadnezzar's dream, but all the other wise men couldn't, since they were so dependent on the false god like Marduk. If only they could follow God, maybe even God would have given even them the interpretation that the king was looking for. But through it all, Daniel is written, thanks to prayer, is to the one true God, they were able to get the message and the meaning of what the dream was and what his intention into the king. And we will read more about that next time. Our closing song is entitled Ancient Words. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Words of life, words of hope, give us strength, help us go. In this world where we roam, ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let this ancient words impart.
Holy words of our faith handed down to this age came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Holy words. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, dear sister.
Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let this ancient word impart.
Let us have a word of prayer, dear ones. It will be our closing prayer. And who would like to offer that for us? Please go right ahead.
We thank you for all that we have learned today by your grace, and we pray that you'll please help us also to dare to be like Daniel and his companions, and to be faithful and true at all things, that you may be able to work mighty things through us according to our faithfulness to you. We pray, Lord, now that you please let us get some good rest tonight by your grace. Let your Holy Spirit fill each and every home, and may our dreams be dreams that are sweet and peaceful concerning the kingdom to come. We thank you, O Lord God, and please be with us through Sabbath morning as you wake us up by your grace. And let us be attentive, ready to learn even more of your love. In Jesus' name we pray, O Lord. Amen.
Amen. Well, dear ones, does anyone have any thoughts, any comments, any questions, any testimonies, even any songs that they would like the speaker sing? Please feel free to do so. This comes to me asking, you may sing Dare to be a Daniel, and if you're not, we'll find that. Yeah. Standing by a purpose true, heeding God's command, honor them that they spoke you all hail to the man. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. Many mighty men are watching, daring not to stand, for God had been a host by joining Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. Many giants great and tall, stalking through the land, and long to the earth would fall if met by Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. Hold the gospel banner high, on to victory grand. Satan and his host defy and shout for Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. Does anyone have any other songs or any comments, questions, testimony, thoughts, anything they want to give? Please feel free to speak up. Well, thank you, everyone, for attending today's service. So looking forward to come back together again to read more of God's word and to have fellowship with you once more. And thank you for coming tonight, and may God bless you all, give you some rest and peace be with all of you. And dear Brother Dick, care to sing us away?
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up. You like that?
It can just be new, Roger. Good night, everyone. God be with you all.
Good night.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you, dear Brother Joshua. God bless you all. Sabbath blessings.
Sabbath blessing, everyone. God bless each one. And forgive for the little situation. My son's computer had a recording that he was listening earlier, and he pressed the button, and he just started to talk. And my mom was calling, too. So forgive us, and may you all have a wonderful night rest, and see you all tomorrow by God's grace. And thank you so much for all the participation. God bless.